Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Slider, his favorite weapon. Stanton hits one to the monster again. And that one's off the top of the wall. Judge streaking around third. The throw to the plate. And the Yankees had been much maligned all year long for base running mistakes. 22 outs recorded at the plate, and that tied them for the most in baseball. And the Red Sox outfield has been terrific. 43 outfield assists during the regular season, the most by far in the sport. Kike Hernandez played that absolutely perfectly in center.
Now here's the play. He's right in front of you. Nevin should have his... And that's the mistake, right? It's a little bit reactive and not proactive. I'm going to show you where Phil Nevin should have his hands up. And right around here, if we pause it, he should have your hands up. And there should be no question. Second and third, one out. Hands should be up. He's thinking. And now he makes a mistake. And that's why these games are so special. Because you see unusual things when the heartbeat is racing really, really fast. The improbable happens, and that's what happened right there with Nevin.
All right, Maz, let's get right into it. Obviously, the key sequence in the game last night, sixth inning. Anthony Rizzo with the home run, Aaron Judge with the dribbler. Alex Cora comes out and gets Nathan Eovaldi, who had been tremendous to that point, 71 pitches, but third time through, Alex Cora comes and yanks him. Giancarlo Stanton misses a home run by, I don't know what that was, 5 feet, something like that. Third base coach Nevin sends Aaron Judge, stupidly thrown out at home, and that was pretty much the sequence right there in a nutshell, was it not?
It was really the only time in the whole game that the Yankees sort of rallied and threatened. That was it. The rest of the time, they really didn't. And so I was a critical stretch, absolutely. And so I did not love Cora taking Eovaldi out of that game. In fact, I hated it. I thought this guy's throwing the ball the way he's throwing, and all of a sudden you put one guy on base, you're going to take him out? I was appalled.
So the question is, was Cora justified or not? Because, again, he takes him out, here comes Brazier, and the next batter, it was a rocket shot, and it missed a home run by, you know, whatever, feet. So was Cora justified in the end or not?
No, he got lucky. He got lucky, which I think he basically admitted after the game. He said, we almost got burned by it. So, you know, I think he recognized that that very easily could have been a home run. And now you're looking at a totally different ball game. And now it's 3-3 and everything's totally different. So they caught a break there. Now, the other thing they did, and isn't it a wonder what happens when you have guys playing the right position? So Enrique Hernandez is your best center fielder and he's not playing second base because you're trying to shoehorn people into the lineup. He backs up the play. He gets the ball in quickly. Bogaerts throws a strike to the plate. And Phil Nevin, him and his helmet shoved squarely up his backside.
In fairness, don't they have to wear helmets?
Okay, I know, but he's always been a hardo, so I'm just not a Nevin guy. What a jackass.
Seriously.
What a jackass move.
Why don't you wait till he basically waited till Judge was, I don't know, again, just strides from third base before he makes up his mind. Very tepid. Very sort of last-minute decision to send him, and it wasn't close. So that was more Phil Nevin's decision than it was a good play by the Red Sox.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Horrible base run decision, absolutely, positively horrible. And so, look, again, the Red Sox executed it, but all you need to know about it is that did Hernandez do anything exceptional or just what he was supposed to, which is he backed it up, threw it in. He didn't even make a great throw to Bogaerts. Ball had nothing on it. It bounced once, but Bogaerts picked it up. And then Bogaerts turned around, and did he look like he panicked? Did he throw a rocket to the plate?
No, nope. It was a little short.
Yeah, but I mean, it got there on the fly, but it's not like he threw this absolute seed. It was accurate. It was on the money, and they still got him by 5 feet. So to me, that speaks to the decision at third base. And again, look, the Red Sox executed the play, which for them in and of itself is a borderline miracle because we all know how they play defense at times during the year. They executed the play perfectly. So I'll give them that. He never should have been waved home. Never. I mean, the Red Sox didn't have to do anything exceptional on that plate. There was one out, and he got gunned down at the plate by 5 feet, maybe more. Horrible decision.
Yeah,
horrible.
Only sign of life from the Yankees. Turning point in the game. Taking out the starter, getting to the Red Sox. Susceptible bullpen. First time you'd on the ropes is too strong, but the first time there's a threat, call it that, and the Yankees snuffed it right out, and oh well, that's the way that that goes. We're going to start Red Sox today, folks, and do plenty of it today. I thought that was a great night last night. I'm not telling you it was an all-timer, but I'm telling you it was, again, worth your money. The game had a huge amount of interest, did a huge number, as it should have. The atmosphere in the building was terrific, and the Red Sox are through. So we'll start Red Sox today. Billy and Kevin Maggiore back there, you can release the hounds at 617-779-0985. What else stood out to you, Maz?
Okay, so one of the big things for me was the atmosphere in the ballpark. I wasn't convinced it was going to be like that. I think I even said on the air yesterday that I wasn't sure the game was going to be sold out. They were trying to give away some tickets. We had people calling in and telling us that there were more Yankees fans outside the ballpark early on than there were Red Sox fans.
They were selling them to college students for $9 a pop is what the thing was.
Okay, and yet, and maybe that's why the crowd was raucous, because it was some young college kids who got into the ballpark for nothing. Maybe that's what it was, but the place was
loud. Did you see the kid? I guess it was Bogaerts' home run. The kid that got the ball out there immediately started to chug his beer. Did you see that?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. All over himself.
Oh, my God. That was tremendous.
It was great.
Maybe that was one of the $9 specials.
And I ask you this in all seriousness. When's the last night that ballpark felt like that before last night?
2013.
When's the last time it felt like that? It's been a long time since the ballpark felt like that. And you could feel it. And they fed off it. I don't think there's any question that they fed off it. Evaldi came out of the gate throwing bullets. He looked sharp in the early part of the game. Bogaerts gets a 2-1 pitch and belts it out of the ballpark in the first inning. And so it couldn't have gone more perfectly for the Red Sox last night as than it did.
But I don't really remember that kind of buzz in 18. Like, just maybe because they were such a buzzsaw, maybe it was the Yankee factor last night.
Well, Red Sox, Yankees, it should be like that, and it was.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun night in there. You could see that. And again, to their credit, they played one of their best games of the year, I think. They really did. And they may not have pitched a better game as a staff all year as they did last night. No walks, 11 strikeouts, 85 strikes and 113 pitches, I think it was, as a staff.
So I was going to say, did the Yankees play into that? They were clearly swinging last night, right? I mean, from the first pitch, I think Rizzo swung at the first pitch of the game and sort of tone setting. And, you know, Evaldi throws a lot of strikes. So the Yankees said, we're going to swing at their strikes. Maybe they did the same thing in the regular season game a couple weeks ago. I don't know. But the Yankees sort of played right into that. It was an aggressive approach.
It was. Yep, they absolutely did. I also think, though, that the quality of the pitches last night overall for the Red Sox was pretty good. They were on the corners a lot. Even Brazier, when he got in, and he got pounded by Stanton on that ball. But Brazier was pretty, you know, he was on the corners. It wasn't a ton from the Red Sox in the middle of the plate. So I thought, really, as a staff, you're not going to get them pitching much better than that this season.
Does it tell you what they're capable of going forward?
Sure.
Or is that a one-off?
Well, no. I mean, it's a little bit of both. But the point is this. If they get their heads out of their asses and they don't make stupid mistakes on the bases, which they still made last night, and they throw strikes, and they have some stuff on the staff on the right nights to be able to put a scare in a good team. And the Yankees aren't a great team. They're a good team. Would I pick the Red Sox to beat Tampa Bay? Probably not. But think of it this way. Evaldi's going to go game three. That's here on Sunday. If you split in Tampa and you have Evaldi going to the mound in game three, you okay with that?
Of course I'm okay with that. It's a series.
Okay, so there you go. Now you're in it. And I don't think that that's asking too much. I think that is entirely plausible. And I also think that Cora is starting to settle into this thing where he knows which guys he wants to go to later in the game. So Brazier's been really good lately. He wasn't good last night. Hauk has been out of this world in the last few days. Certainly, Whitlock is back on the staff. I know he gave up a home run last night to Stanton in the ninth inning, but you have some more options out there. So, look, am I telling you they're a favorite? No. Do they have a shot? Hell yeah. Of course. That's the game. That's October. Yeah, you have a shot.
Okay, like I said, two calls in a minute, but first of all, a piece of business. Got to take care of here.
Go ahead.
On this program here. Milliken, are you there?
I'm here, Felger.
Okay. Tyler, to you and the Bluminati.
My calculator as well.
And the nerds. I would like to admit defeat and throw myself at the feet of my clone overlords. Once again, the computer program greater than my human intuition.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil.
Do we have breaking news?
Yeah, this is
yeah, this
you.
Is it.
You, this is the breaking news that you are admitting defeat.
You don't need to do that. I'm happy to admit defeat. Unlike the computer program that cannot admit it's wrong, I can admit it's wrong. Chaim Bloom did what he had to do at the trade deadline, and he's justified in his methods. And I once again throw myself at the mercy of my clone overlords who run the sport and will soon run our lives. And so I throw myself at your mercy, Milliken. Be nice to me and my family. Treat me
like a person, not a computer.
No, treat me like a golden retriever. Just be nice to me. Feed me. Make sure my family is taken care of. Give me a warm place to sleep. And you've controlled the sport. You will control my life. And I throw myself at your mercy.
That was beautiful.
How's that?
I do appreciate it. It's a long time coming, but we'll take it now.
See?
Can I get a thank you, Chaim Bloom, out of you?
Thank you, Chaim, my clone overlord.
Maz?
No, not yet.
All right.
I throw myself at his mercy.
I'll tell you where I will eat my shoe or whatever the expression is. You know, eat my hat on Chaim Bloom. Hansel Robles has become a little bit of a factor in that bullpen. I'm not telling you huge.
A little bit more than a little, Maz. Let's be real. It's more than a little. He's pitching a lot of late inning situations,
Maz,
for them.
Don't anger the clones.
I'm just telling
you. You understand. You've seen The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not just they've now, the programs run baseball. And it's just a matter of time until
the machines take over.
Until we are just their pets.
Correct.
We are a glorified version of a golden retriever to our computer overlords.
We feed the machine.
So yeah. This is what I'm basically, yeah. I'm getting out ahead of this
yeah.
and saying, Milliken, you were right. I was wrong. Be kind to me and my family going forward. Feed us, and we will subjugate ourselves to our programmer overlords. That's what I'm telling you right now.
You want him to take you for a walk twice a day,
yep,
too?
Yep. Just give me a place to poop and sleep and feed me and my family, and we will accept our place as your loyal subjects. Go ahead.
Yeah. So again, the Robles thing. You know, in his last 14 appearances, have you seen these numbers? Mm-mm. This guy?
No.
12 2/3, 5 hits, only 4 walks, 15 strikeouts. They're hitting .122 against him with an OPS of .342.
Mass.
What were the leads at the time?
Okay, but games? Murray, he pitched in big spots the last few days, man. Murray.
Don't argue with the computer, Murray.
Murray, why do you have to do it?
He
why?
Pitched
why
Murray.
Exactly?
Oh, I'll go down with the ship with this.
You're at the bottom of the ocean.
I'll give you this.
You sunk.
You won the trade deadline over the Yankees. Congratulations. You get nothing more than that from
and
me.
You, now you have a top 10 farm system, you know, going into next year. The Yankees are sitting near 20. You know, everybody's favorite, David Dombrowski. He's sitting at 28 as Philly Sports Talk Radio begs for Chaim Bloom, as Mets Sports Talk Radio begs for Chaim Bloom. All I'm asking is he gets his credit for what he's done. He's pushed expectations again and again. He didn't sell your farm system, which, you know, someone like David Dombrowski would have done because, you know, oh, let's throw everything in for Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy. You trade Spencer Howard, your best pitching prospect, when you have no pitching, you know, really in the upper minors as it is. That's the life you live, and that's why Dave Dombrowski will sit here. That's why the 2019 season was what it was, and that's why it would have continued. So you're welcome. Red Sox baseball is entertaining. Thank you, Chaim Bloom.
Folks, you think that's a human being speaking. It's not.
It's just bars.
It's your computer overlord. It is your clone overlord that has taken over the sport and is taking over our life. We're next. Baseball was first. The baseball is now experiencing max optimization. Because it's become a computer program. Chaim Bloom is one of the purest clones off the assembly line. And so he is dialed in. The ones and zeros all add up. Milliken, Bloom, his group is right. I am wrong. I throw myself at your mercy. I just can't say it again. I wouldn't fight it, Murray. I would give in and just beg for mercy. What I would do is just beg for good treatment from them. Murray, that's what I would do.
Murray, remember,
this is your chance.
At the end of the day, Murray, we're all just a binary code of some
exactly.
sort.
Exactly. This is your chance.
I told you, you won the trade deadline. You beat the Yankees. Kyle Schwarber was the best bat available. So credit to Heimblum there. You were right on that. I was wrong. Beyond that, you get no apology.
The Blue Jays as well, who also went and, you know, dished out two top 60 prospects, one really a top 15, one in that 50-ish area that you couldn't match. So they also lose a year. Okay, they'll have another year with them. The L's are there. Heimblum, W.
Team out-cockroached the Yankees. Very good. Very good.
Jays weren't on my radar. I still think Anthony Rizzo helped the Yankees a lot. They came back from 7.5 games.
Who started that rally last night?
Behind you. I mean, whatever. I still think he was a good pickup for him. But I'm not going to do that thing. I'm just going to point to the scoreboard and admit defeat, especially up against the computer program. I can't beat the computer program. You can't beat the computer program. The computer program's right. It's been right across the sport. Look at the guys that run the teams that are still alive. They all come from the same assembly line of clones. They're right. We're wrong. Don't fight it. Just sit back and enjoy it as much as you can and hope that Milliken and his overlords feed us well and give us a place to sleep.
I do have my own grievance to air, but I'll wait for the other side.
That grievance coming up next. Milliken, thanks for hanging around. Your thoughts and calls, I promise, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, they wanted us, and they got us now, so win or go home. That's it.
2-1 pitch. Bogart sends a drive to center field and deep. Gardner turns around and watches it fly. Oh, high and deep out to right field. Judge back and watching, and it's gone! He got him as a Cub in 2015, and he got him as a Boston Red Sox tonight.
You feed off that energy. You thrive for that, and Red Sox Nation brought it tonight.
The first sign of trouble, and Eovaldi, who was spectacular through 5 innings, leaves the Red Sox leading by a pair. Slider, his favorite weapon. Stanton hits one to the monster again, and that one's off the top of the wall. Judge streaking around third. The throw to the plate. And in time to get him! Perfect execution by the Red Sox!
That was better than a homer for me personally. I mean, if that run scores, it's 3-2.
Into the gap in left center field. Schwarber scores easily. Kike right behind him. Throw into second where Verdugo is out, but not before the damage is done. Torres sends a fly ball out to right. Hunter Renfro's got it, and the Red Sox have a date with the Rays.
What they do is what they do. It doesn't matter who's playing, who's not playing. We're going to show up and we're going to play. And regardless of the result, we're going to be happy with the way we go out of our business. Sometimes it looks horrible, but... 93 times this year hasn't looked horrible. So we're going to keep rolling. She said, I think I'm going to Boston.
I think I'll start a new life. Something there courtesy of Maz on the production. All right, write your calls, Maz, unless you got a thought here to lead off the segment.
No, so I was going to tell you, I have one grievance here. One, all the people who've been saying to me for the last week, month, whatever, yeah, Maz, everything they do now is gravy. They've already overachieved. Do you still feel the same way? Don't you take some level of satisfaction out of what happened last night? Don't you think they now have a chance to actually push the Rays a little bit? Like, this notion that it was all gravy was an excuse.
Well, I mean, so like, you've had a successful season. Okay, so do you turn the TV off?
No, but it was all...
I'm with you. I just hate that approach.
Yeah,
it's like...
I know it's annoying, and it's a way to guard against the failure. That's all it is. It's a way to guard against the failure.
Play it. You're off and running.
Right. Play it out.
You played a great game last night. If you can repeat that, you got another couple weeks of baseball, and let's see what happens. I wouldn't rule anything out. So it's a successful season. I mean, but now get greedy. Rick in Cambridge, lead us off today. Go ahead, Rick.
So, yes, Michael, I really appreciate the fact that it's really refreshing to hear somebody actually admit that they're wrong. Maz, I would really like to hear the same from you, because all year, I believe you've been saying is that what we really wanted, myself included, was meaningful games in September. Not only did we get that, we got two meaningful games already in October, and now we are actually in the playoffs.
Okay.
In a position.
I got you, Rick. Maz, are you willing to give any sort of mea culpa for whatever he's talking about?
So I don't even know what it is necessarily that I was wrong about. Like he said, you said you wanted meaningful games. Yes, we got
okay,
that.
You guys, well, I guess we all did, took nails. Do you have to give the nail back?
Oh, I was 100% wrong about that.
Okay.
Yeah, and the most unhappy, but that was Murray's fault.
It was Murray's bit. I don't think I officially took a nail, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you rode the fence the whole time.
I purposely tried, yeah. Yes. It was very deft of me, right?
Yeah. I didn't want to do it, but Murray forced me into it.
Yeah.
So you got to take like that back, right? Okay. So does that make you happy there, Rick? Glenn in Grafton. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, all that you've been saying for 3 weeks is they're quitters, they gave up. They're not going to make the postseason. What's your reply to that?
Well, I've already thrown myself at your feet. I've already admitted defeat. So I don't know what you're these guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've never been happier to be mistaken.
Yeah, they were one game away from being swept from the Orioles. They found themselves over the weekend against Washington. They beat a suck Yankees team. All right, so let's see how they do against Tampa.
So
there
look,
you go.
And I'll give them
that's
this.
The best you'll get from me.
Boy, they capitalized on the opportunity. They really did. And I'm not sure that game would have gone the same way if it were in New York. Okay? So they caught a break there because the Yankees were complicit in their own demise. New York was up 2 with 3 to go, and the game ended up being here.
So I don't think you catch a break over 162. Over 162 is 162.
They caught one on the final weekend.
Let me tell you where they caught a break. Where, you know, a millimeter here or there, and Stanton had 3 home runs last night and not one.
That game was whoever scored first.
Okay, and so, like, that I'll say, like, there was a game of inches kind of thing. First inning.
Sure.
If that's a home run for Stanton. And, you know, then maybe that I'll say, like, there's breaks in every game. That doesn't take anything away from them. But I wouldn't say that it's a break that you won the tiebreak over New York because you beat them. Like, beat them on the field.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a break that New York, like, lost 2 out of 3 on the final weekend. You're not involved in that game. You caught a little bit of a break there.
No, I thought the team at a couple points this year were just going to flat out quit, fold their tent, and that's it.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. And they dusted themselves off more than once.
Yeah,
so,
I give them credit for that.
And
I do. I still think they're capable of a little more.
Okay, and I was wrong about that, if that's what you want to hear. Brendan in Southie. Go ahead, Brendan.
How you doing, guys? I'm 44 years old. I've been to a million Boston sporting events. I was at the game Sunday, and I was at the game last night. Honestly, it hasn't felt like that in either ballpark since the early 2000s to late 2000s. I loved it. I felt like I was at my prom getting ready to do it for the first time with my girl. I'll hang up and listen.
And when you say Sunday, you mean Gillette. Is what he meant. But the atmosphere in the park last night, Miss.
Yeah, look, I thought it was a huge factor in the game. I think playing the game here is exactly what the Red Sox thought it would be. It was an advantage, and they fed off it. And so now I'm not going back to the early 2000s. I mean, there were some nights in 2018. Remember the Mookie Betts 10-pitch at-bat grand slam or like 10 that game? There were moments in that season that were the ballpark was what it typically is when the Red Sox are good. Mike, but the fact is, people haven't believed in this team, whether it was me, Murray, or you, or anybody else. The ratings have been low all year. They've had trouble getting people to the ballpark, relatively speaking. And so last night, I think, convinced a lot of people that they were more legit than everyone thought. And they benefited from that. That place was jumping last night. You could hear it.
And I'll tell you, it helped that I thought it was a good baseball game. And it wasn't like the super dramatic thing that we've seen in some of those wild card games, lead changes and wild stuff at the end of the game. It wasn't like that. It wasn't topsy-turvy. The sixth inning was as close as you got to that. But it was 3-13. Guys swung the bat. Guys were swinging early in the count. There were double plays made in the field. There was plays made at the plate. You said there were no walks on the Red Sox side.
They did not walk a batter in the game.
How many did the Yankees walk? It didn't even feel like many.
I don't think it was. I know Schwarber had one.
They walked the bases in,
yeah, right, that one inning.
In the seventh or whatever that was. So they did walk the bases there. But again, 3-13 in this day and age for a Red Sox-Yankees playoff game is like...
light speed.
Oh, my God. So you want to do that. Like, that's a product you can consume. And so I don't know if that probably helped. It should have helped. Maybe it helped the atmosphere as well. Okay, let's get to our whiniest elderly Red Sox fan, Harry in the car. Let me just save you the first 20 seconds of your call.
When are you guys going to admit?
No, listen. Yes, I wanted Trevor Bauer. Yes, Maz wanted, I can't remember
Rizzo.
Who you wanted. You wanted Rizzo.
Among others.
We've been shish kebobbing the team all year. We took nails, put them in their coffin. We thought they were going to quit. Okay, we got all that out of the tape. Okay, so got
now,
it.
Now, so you don't need to shish kebab us.
Second.
We've done it already.
Second sentence now, Harry, go.
I accept your apology, finally. I accept it. Even though Maz hasn't said it, I accept it. When Maz says that payroll's not high enough, and last week you questioned Bogaerts, and then you said we lost the trade deadline, and then Maz said he bought a Rizzo shirt, and then you said to me, oh, we can't root for the teams. We root for no one. But Maz root for the Yankees like he does every year. Every year since you guys, Yankees will beat the Sox.
Oh, yeah, no, Harry, that's true. I'm not going to root for the home teams. I'll root for the visitor all the time. Yes, absolutely. It's more fun.
Not you.
It's more fun that way, Harry.
I don't root for the Yankees either.
But do you have anything
to
add?
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Do you have anything to add, Harry?
Yeah. What about Maz? What did you do with the Rizzo shirt you wanted at the trade line? You said you bought. What'd you do with that shirt?
I got to fold it up. It's folded up on my desk over there. I can go get it during the commercial break if you want. I got a hat, too, if you want it, Harry.
I'm looking for Harry to go forward at one point, but that's all right. You can keep going back.
No, I don't mind it. It's okay. Skewer away. That was a fun night at the ballpark last night. You should celebrate it because that felt like old times. I don't know if it'll persist, but you know what? That doesn't even matter today. Yeah, beat the crap out of me. I'm okay with that.
We're starting Red Sox. We will get to some of the Patriots stuff because there's breaking news on the Patriots today. The very latest right here with Big Jim Murray. Then we come back with more of your Red Sox calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The ball coming in looked like it was going to be kind of an in-between hop to the infielder. Bogaerts did a good job of creating a hop, catching it clean, and obviously throwing it home and getting them. But that kind of squashed a potential rally there. So I think what he saw was what he thought was going to be kind of an in-between hop and really a tough chance.
Aaron Boone explaining Phil Nevin's decision to send Aaron Judge. And clearly the key sequence of the game, you can say it lost the Yankees the game, but then again, with Joey Gallo coming up next,
your first and third, I think Stanton pimped it again.
He did.
So he pimped it in the first, like an idiot, and only ended up on first. It didn't matter because, again, Gallo didn't do anything, so it's like he would have been stranded at first or second in this one in the six. Stanton ultimately ended up at second. He could have ended up at third, but again, that would have been dependent on Judge going or not. But either way, Stanton did finally get to second, but he didn't run hard out of the box on the second one either. Neither did Judge. All right. So, but either way, all I'm saying is maybe part of Phil Nevin, who again blew it, he should have held Judge. Period. Story over. But maybe part of his thinking is Gallo can't hit his way out of a paper bag, and so this is going to be our best chance right here.
Yeah, and that, but that one I half get. Okay, I half, because Gallo's dreadful. He really is. He is dreadful. Even so, stupid. Stupid. I mean, with the way the Red Sox pitch and the way things have gone this year, wild pitch, catch a home, like any one of a million things. He puts the ball in play, you get a run home.
And you got the whole momentum thing. I mean, Cora yanks Eovaldi. Now you're into their bullpen, and immediately, rocket shot. It's like, yo, here you go.
Yeah, right. Now the other team's backing up.
Let that play out.
Totally. And those outs at the plate are killers. They are killers for any team in any situation. They're rally killers. You get a guy gunned down at the plate. Because realistically, how often does it happen? Not that often. So now you lose a run and you're like, ugh. Because it just let the air out of them right then and there.
All right, here's Aaron Judge on the decision for him to be sent from third. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Stanton smoked it. I think that's a home run in 29 of 30 parks. You know, off the bat, I'm trying to get a good jump. You know, I know it's going to ricochet hard. I don't know where it's going to go. I kind of saw it had a bad bounce. I think past Verdugo, whoever there was out there in left field. And, you know, my mindset as a runner is I'm going as hard as I can until I'm, you know, told not to. And, you know, off the bat, you know, I think I got a chance to score, you know, just based on how crazy that wall is and the ricochets you'll get. And, you know, it's got to take a perfect relay, a perfect throw to even, you know, kind of get me. And, you know, kind of watch the replay. I saw it was a perfect throw and, you know, right on the money, you know. So, you know, nothing you can really do about that. You know, you got to take chances the postseason. You got to take opportunities. You can't play scared. You can't play afraid. And, you know, when you see an opportunity like that, especially, a bad ricochet off the wall, you know, we got to take chances. You know, that didn't win or lose this game for us. You know, there's so many different things I can go through, you know, the game that, you know, didn't go right. But, I'm trying to score there, you know, and I just didn't get the job done. Didn't get my hand in there in time on the slide. And, you know, that's it.
Wow. Talk about a good team guy, you know, putting it on himself. It wasn't that bad of a ricochet. And, oh, by the way, and it did get by
Verdugo.
It did get by Verdugo at first. Nevin's looking at the whole thing.
He's got
to see Hernandez backing him up.
Correct. And the ball was hit so hard that he should have known the chances to score him were less. And look, the third base coach's job is to read that play.
I don't think Judge was going into third thinking he was going to be sent.
No, me neither.
So sorry. Go ahead. No, you go.
No, I think Nevin botched it. And look, again, they're not throwing him under the bus, which I give him credit for. Because, you know, to me, I remember one year when the Yankees lost the game and Teixeira was whining about the third base coach and how he might get hurt at the plate and blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut up. Okay, shut up. The third base coach makes like 1/1000th of what you make or whatever the hell it is. Just play the game and you should be able to make some of these judgments on your own. But last night, Nevin blew it.
Okay,
he blew it.
Meanwhile, Mass did not like the decision to lift Nathan Eovaldi in that ballgame. Here's Alex Cora on why he did take Eovaldi out.
Nate was great. We learned a lot last week. And I know a lot of people doubted us and, you know, they doubted him and all that. But we learned a lot last week. And we executed our plan the way we wanted to. And he was amazing. You know, it's a tough game to manage. Course, you know, if it's a 5-game series, a 7-game series, probably I'll keep him there and see what happens. But, you know, the way our bullpen was and how we felt about them, I felt like that was the time. You know, we almost got burned. Kika made a great play, Xander a great relay, and Plow a great tag. And then after that, everything settled down and we got 27 outs.
Okay. To me, a big part of it was third time through, our clone overlords once again. That methodology has been proven right time and time again. Doesn't work every time, and when it doesn't work, you want to pull your hair out. But there's a reason they pull these starting pitchers at the first sign of trouble the third time through, because more often than not, the computer program has it right. And I think that was as much of the driving decision as anything, Maz.
Mike, what else could it be? He was dominating the game. Okay, Rizzo hits a homer.
On his third time through.
Yes, and so, but and even then you say, well, that's a wraparound. Like, you know, in a lot of ballparks, it's not even a home run, it's a foul ball. So, and I understand it was hard hit. I'm not telling you it wasn't a hard hit, but then the next guy gets a hit.
Dribbler.
And Cora comes out. And I'm like, ooh, boy, that's quick.
Oh, Maz, they had guys up and ready to go.
I know.
Third time through.
I know. And it's just, it was one of those games though where Evaldi was so dominating. Now, look, to their credit, they were ready. Okay, they were ready. So, but it's not like Brazier came in and put out the fire.
Get used to it. I don't believe Cora when he says if this were a 5 or 7 game series, it might be different. No, it's not. The laminated sheet that the clones send down to you had tell you, have your guys ready in the bullpen to go third time through, first sign of trouble, they're out. And that's the way the game is managed. It's managed that way up until game 6 of the World Series. We saw it last year. Again, Chaim Bloom is the purest clone off the assembly line. And the assembly line, one of the main generators of this assembly line is in Tampa. That's where he comes from. Blake Snell comes out of that game, World Series game last year. Same rationale. So I don't believe it's just because this was a one-off elimination game. This is the way the game is managed. And more often than not, the clones are right. And as soon as you accept it, Murray, and the rest of you, the better off we'll all be in the long run. We'll be well-fed, and they'll make sure we'll have a warm place to sleep at night.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, so I was just looking it up as you were talking just to see what it is on Evaldi. The first two trips through the order, the batting average against, and I know that's elementary, but it translates, okay? 239 and 244, and the OPS is under 700. The third time through goes up to 281, and the OPS goes to 780. So they were ready for it. I mean, they were ready for it. I just thought Evaldi's one of the few guys, if not the only guy on that staff, that he will let go 6 or 7 innings. Like, he's done that a few times during the course of the year. Most everybody he pulls the plug on in the middle. Evaldi, he'll let go. And with the way Evaldi was going last night, I wanted him to stay in that game.
Okay, back to your calls right after this. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Maz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And just one follow-up. What do you say to fans and maybe reactionary media members, like some of us on this call, including me, who say that, you know, wish that maybe you had done a little bit more?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, especially when things are flying left and right like they have been the last 48 hours. Any fan would love to see their team right in the thick of it, and you love to see your team, you know, making big moves. We would too. We just aren't going to do that, you know, when we think those moves are actually running counter to our goal. We know how high the expectations of our fans are, and if we do something for short-term gratification that has too high a long-term price, we're going to end up letting them down more than we're going to help them. It might be fun today. You may or may not get what you're hoping for over the last 2 months, but you certainly are going to pay the price for years to come. Like I said, there were some moves, including the ones that we made, where we did feel there was some price that we paid, and it was a price we were willing to pay. There were a lot of things, you know, that were put to us where we just felt we're not doing our jobs, and ultimately we are going to let our fans down, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be next year, the year after, or all of the above, if we do some of the things that we could have done to make more of a splash.
There's my clone overlord. I throw myself at his feet and beg for mercy. he was right, we were wrong, Maz? I mean, we hated that comment at the time, okay, but it all comes out in the wash. Scoreboard, they're where they would have been had they won the division. Now they're starting on the road versus at home, which is something. I don't sure. want to mean that that's nothing. So if they had, you know, stayed in first place after the trade deadline, they'd be hosting the Rays or the wild card team, whatever that, or however that worked out. Well, I mean, maybe not even. If you were the three seed, you'd still be on the road as a division winner. But that's just... So the home road may have changed, but otherwise they're in the DS, which is where they would have been anyway.
Yeah, look, he landed on his feet. I mean, he landed on his feet. The one thing I would still caution against is keep an eye on the first base situation, okay? Dahlbeck's defense has been better, but it's still a problem overall at first base, and it's something that could bite him in the ass in the division series. So I don't think they solved that problem. But where I was wrong, clearly, was Robles. Robles has been good the last few times. I mean, the last three games of the regular season, he pitched in the eighth, the ninth, and the ninth. And the last two games in Washington were 4-2 and 5-3. And then last night, I mean, you had a little bit of a cushion there, but he comes into a playoff game in the late inning. He was one of your three preferred relievers. And so he's throwing a lot of strikes all of a sudden. So I don't know what they tapped into there, but he's been a help.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised. Mike in the truck. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment quickly on the best part of last night's game, and that was the Sterling call of that Stanton hit. I heard that. I heard that this morning on Tutcher and Rich, and I had to laugh. It's like he's got one of the longer calls on home runs of probably anybody. He's, you know, the high, far, gone thing. By the time he got to gone, it had to have already gone off the wall.
You know, so I mean, if we're all being honest, we all thought it was gone.
Yeah, me too.
You know, of course we did, except we didn't go into our home run call.
And that was his first game on the road. He's called all year. You're
correct.
There. You got
I
the best
there.
View of it, dude.
I, Billy, you got it? You know, I mean, I was about to give the old man a break because
it's still funny.
He has to do it over the monitor, and he's, you know, he's no spring chicken. So, like, I can't see either. So, like, I get it. Oh, he was at the park, the poor bastard. Go ahead, Billy.
The pitch to Stanton. Drilled, there it goes. Deep left, it is high. It is far. It is gone out of the ballpark. A Stantonian home run. Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong? He's at first base.
I guess it hit the top of the wall. I thought it went out. Aaron Boone is looking. Are they going to look at this? They got
actually thought it went out of the back part of the monster seat.
No. Halfway up
the
wall.
Let's see. I thought it hit off the top and came back.
Nope. About halfway.
Hit right off the ledge.
No, it didn't.
Came right back.
So
no,
I apologize, everyone. I was dead wrong. And I just saw it. It did hit the top. I thought it went on the ballpark. So standing at first, Billy Gallo fouls the pitch off.
I think he handled it as best he could.
Hold on.
That's a long single.
Not even that long in that park. Got to be honest with you. It happens all the time.
Yeah, it really. It was a little past halfway up the wall. I mean, it was your classic scraping wall ball double.
I mean, off the bat, yes, of course. Anytime Stanton puts a bat on the ball, you
that's
think it's
crushed,
out.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so, okay, but then, you know, have to watch the flight.
Oh, my gosh. And as soon as Stanton hit it, I went, holy crap, are we doing this again? You can't get this guy out. And they still weren't able to get him out the whole game.
Anthony and Medford. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, great last night. We got to say, Nathan Eovaldi's turning into a big game pitcher, and it looks like Cole ain't. And, Maz, I got a question for you. You think Corey's just set on the bullpen? Because I ain't high on Brazier or Robles. He's pitched great lately, Robles, but I ain't dependent on him.
Okay, they have no closer. Unless Whitlock is really back in his... Do you think he's the closer?
I wouldn't rule that out.
I mean, he should be, right?
Yeah, he should.
Because he's the best stuff.
Yeah, and he throws a ton of strikes. Again, the last thing you want from a closer is putting men on base. And this is what is good about what's happening right now in the bullpen. Brazier throws strikes. Last night and lately, Robles has been throwing strikes, and Whitlock throws a ton of strikes. So you got guys that aren't going to put people on base, at least right now. And if you can ride that out and get into some sort of rhythm, just go with it. Go with it. Again, everything, you throw everything out the window now and just go with who's hot.
Connor in Boston, thanks for hanging on. What do you got, Connor?
Hey, I just saw in the crowd last night. I know you guys were talking about the the student tickets.
and how they need to get students in the park. But I got that student nines text, and those things sold out in like 15 seconds, like insane. So I had to pay a good amount to go into the game last night. But also wanted to say, just on the contrast of the starting pitchers last night, how much balls Evaldi had compared to Cole. It was just a great game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Red Sox were threatening all night. They had into a couple double plays. They had a couple chances there to really break the thing open. I thought Boone made a good call getting Cole out of there as soon as he did.
He did. He was aggressive there.
And is it Holmes who was the next guy?
Yeah, he got out of it. He
got out of that one, and then there was another inning later on, and then it all sort of ran out on him when they walked the bases in the seventh or whatever.
But just in terms of the mentality of both of those starting pitchers last night, Evaldi is... he's got balls, and yeah. You pull down Garrett Cole's pants smooth like a Ken doll. Nothing there. Two innings? What a stiff. How much money for that guy?
It was like 340-something million. I mean, and again, Evaldi, the pattern here is just impossible to overlook now. So 3-1, 163, 27 and two-thirds innings, 24 strikeouts, 3 walks. I mean, the guy is just, he just fires one strike after the next.
So, but that's in what, playoff games?
That's his career postseason with Boston.
Career postseason.
Yeah, and it's all with Boston. I mean, he gets out there and he just lets it fly. And when I say lets it fly, I don't mean that he's all over the place. I mean, he pitches well.
He's got playoff metal.
Yes, absolutely. He's just rifling strikes into the strike zone. He's fearless.
Tyler in the car. What do you got, Tyler?
Hey, guys. So I went to the game last night with my dad, and some of my best memories, me and my dad are at Fenway, obviously, from being 5-6 years old and hearing the organ and walking out to 04, game 5 of the ALCS against the Yankees, to last night. And so much in baseball has changed, you know, over those years. And I'm with you guys with the overlords and was so upset with when Evaldi came out. But there are some things I want to kind of maybe touch on, get your thoughts on, that are positives.
Quick, and, Tyler, please.
You know, yeah, the play-in game, love it. Game 7 atmosphere and the stadium last night. I mean, it was like a rock show club environment, and you know, no more organ, but that place was absolutely electric factory. It was so great to be there.
Hey, great to see. Like you would think you would say one game play-in, Red Sox Yankees Fenway Park. That should be a big night. And it was. And it was. It was a big night. It was a big night in the park. The TV rating was through the roof. I ended a 17 locally.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. It was just, you know, so that's what it should be. And it was. That's great. Great to see. Good for everybody.
Yeah, it's been a long time, too. I told you, I can't remember the last time the ballpark felt like that, let alone in October. And so you could feel it through the TV. I didn't go to the ballpark last night, but you could feel it. That place was loud.
Continue with your calls and just give you our thoughts on the Stephon Gilmore situation. There was breaking news today on the Patriots. Here's the latest with Murray, and then we're back to discuss. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPersonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.